Let's talk about the Urim V'Tumim. Anyone have an idea what the Urim V'Tumim was?
The breastplate.
Well, the Choshen was the breastplate.
Yeah.
What was the Urim V'Tumim? What was the function? What was the... It was connected to that. Okay, so if you look in Parachaf, Shabbos Parachaf Ches, V'yosisa Choshen Mishpat Masei Choshen. I'm not going to translate the word. So you make a Choshen Mishpat, and it's of different materials. And then it talks about in Pasuk Yuzayin that you're going to fill it, you're going to milei sabo, miluas even, arba turim, you're going to fill this choshen, this breastplate, with stones, four rows of stones. I always get mixed between a row and a column, but it rolls it this way. So okay, so four rows, right? And it says, tur, right? Odem pita varekas turacha. The first row has these three different types of stones. And the Torah Shini, the second row is Nofech Sapir V'Yalom, and Torah Shishi, Lesh Shmol Bachlamam, different types of precious stones. The Torah V, Tashi Shoham B'Yashvei. So you got on the Choshen, you have the four rows of three stones each. And Pazachov Aleph says, Vavim Kien Al Shmos B'nei Yisrael. So it's, they have the names of the B'nei Yisrael. Shtem Esrei Al Shmosam. So each stone had a different, different name or corresponding. And then it says, right, they put the names in the Choshen HaMishpat, Alibo, by his heart, fine. And then Pasuk Lamed, V'nasata Ela Choshen HaMishpat, Es HaUrim V'es HaTumim. You're going to place by the Choshen HaMishpat the Urim and the Tumim. V'hoyu Alev Aaron, and they'll be by the heart of Aaron. B'vol ifnei Hashem, when he comes before God, V'nasa Aaron it's Mishpat B'nei Yisrael Alibo. He's going to carry the Mishpat Israel, why it's called Choshen Mishpat, that's probably another topic. Lifnei Hashem Tamid. Okay, so you're going to put the Urim V'Tumim into the Choshen HaMishpat. Anyone knows what the function of the Urim V'Tumim was? Like why they had that? Did it do anything?
What is the definition?
What is the definition? What do you think? What does it sound like? What does Urim sound like?
Light.
Okay, and what's Tumim?
Shalem.
Shalem, Tamim, pure, complete. Okay, right.
They ask a question.
So how do you know that?
That's what I learned.
Okay, so you learned.
As a kid growing up in school, we learned that it was like the Jewish Ouija board.
The Jewish Ouija board. Okay. Okay. So parrot. Look at Parachav Zayed. So this is in, I think, Parshas Pinchas, I believe. Pasuk Yud Ches, V'yomer Hashem al Moshe, Kach es Chalchas Yeshua binun v'asher ish asher ruach bov tzmat alav ishtadav esher chalav. So Hashem tells Moshe, take Yeshua and put your hand on him. V'matos of the Aaron, a Kohen, place him before Elazar. We'll thank Kol Adam for all the people. Okay, fine. And it says, V'nasat behot chalav, and you should place from your glory unto Yeshua. Fine. And I mentioned for this next last pasuk, Parachav Zayin, pasuk Chavav and Bamidbar, V'lifnei Elazar Kohen Yamod. So Yeshua is going to stand before Elazar the Kohen. V'shalo b'mishpat ha'urim lifnei Hashem, and he will ask b'mishpat again. The mishpat sounds like the Choshen mishpat. The urim before God, al piv yetsu, al piv yavo, hu v'chol b'nei Yisrael itov v'choida. I guess through the mouth seems the. Through its mouth of the Urim V'Tumim, or the Urim, the Bnei Yisrael will go in and out. And then it seems that they're going to ask questions to the Urim V'Tumim, and based on what it says, they're going to do things, go in and out, maybe go to war. National questions seem to go to the Urim V'Tumim. That's what it seems like from Bamidbar Chav Zayin. Now, what exactly was the Urim V'Tumim? So we're going to see at least four approaches, okay? So if the Gemara says, Lamanikra Shemam Urim V'Tumim. Why is it called Urim V'Tumim? Urim Shemeirim Estivrehem. They illuminate. It illuminates its words. You know what that means? It illuminates the words. If something lights up. You know what got lit up? So what you say? It's like a Jewish Ouija board. So what does that mean? What letters?
In the names of the
Shvatim. Okay, good. Okay, good. So we're lighting things up, and Tumim Shemashlimim Estivrehem. That they complete or fulfill its words. May Tumim, it's complete, fulfill its words. Okay, so we have to see what does this mean. So Rashi starts off, we'll start with Rashi. And Rashi says, what's Urim V'Tumim? Hu Ksav Shem HaFarash. It's the name of God. Now, there's some discussion as to what he means, because they're different names, right? There's a four-letter name, longer names, shorter names, but okay, it's a name of Hashem. Shehaya Nasun Besol kiflei hachoshen. It was placed in a fold in the choshen. Shayado hu meir devarav ve umetamemes devarav. It illuminates, I guess, through somehow, again, don't try this at home, but you know the Baal Shem Tov, why is it called the Baal Shem Tov, the master of the good name? They say that the Baal Shem Tov knew how to think about a certain Shem Hashem, a name of God, and because of that, he was able to accomplish certain things. And where does he get that from? So again, by the way, a lot of the Kabbalistic power, or the powers associated with, let's say, Hasidic leaders, are taken from the Kohanim. In other words, the Kohanim bless the people, right? The Kohanim are sort of a conduit between man and God. However, it's explained. There's some language that seems to indicate that, whatever that is, not our topic, but a lot of these things. And also, this idea about, at least the way Rashi understands, that through this Shem Hashem, through concentrating on this Shem Hashem, you would somehow light up certain letters, and you would fulfill its words. You try to understand. And uvamikta sheni haya choshen, and the second base of the choshen was there. Shiev shel kohen gadol lios mechuser begadim. It's impossible for the kohen gadol to be missing clothing, right? The kohen gadol has to have his 8 garments. Aval also Hashem lo haya besocho. But the urim v'tumim, the Shem Hashem, the special Shem Hashem was not in the choshen. Val Shem also oktav. Who then he goes on to say about and it's called, it's because of this name that it's called mishpat. In other words, the choshen mishpat, you would ask the judgment, you would ask you would ask through this Shem Hashem what to do. They didn't have this power, the Gemara says, in the time of the second base of Mikdash. In the first base of Mikdash, it was a much more of a miraculous time. More miracles happened, according to the Gemara. In the second base of Mikdash, there were fewer miracles, and one of the things they didn't have, they didn't have the power to ask the Urim V'Tumim what to do. The Gemara says, again, what this means exactly, you know, like, you never hear of a bas kol, a voice from heaven? That's like a lower form of prophecy. Like the time of the first base of Mikdash was a time of prophecy, and then the second base of Mikdash was a time of bas kol. So the Urim V'Tumim, this ability to ask, right, the Urim V'Tumim, to ask God, as it were, what the nation should do, this was lost in time of second base of Mikdash. But Rashi understands that it was Shem Hashem, Shem Hashem. Okay? Now, the Ramban...
There's an overall Malchshava issue that needs to be addressed here like communication to Hashem through objects,
right?
And how we go about viewing that in general,
right?
With these opinions,
right? So first of all, if you're a rationalist, you're not going to believe in any of this stuff. You're not going to believe in focusing on Shem Hashem. The Rambam was not into this stuff, so we can see the Rambam would not hold of this. But you're saying using a physical, it's in general, right? How do we?
Kabbanos were physical.
I mean, how do we relate? How do we get answers?
Yeah, but Kabbanos were a voda.
Right. I mean,
this is right. Something else. This is the same way that you communicate, Chas v'Shalom, idolatry. You're communicating.
Right.
There's substance.
Right. But to be clear, it's not the Torah. I mean, you know, there's this general question, the Kruvim, which is not a topic. Right, Kruvim, that's Mama is not a Vodah Zarah. So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and the Kuzari says, the difference between the Kruvim and the Egel HaZav, you know what the difference was? God commanded the Kruvim, God did not command the Egel HaZav. I mean, there could be other differences. But I'm saying, it's pretty clear here, B'mir Chav Zayin Chabal, it says, they would ask questions, and through that God would communicate. I mean, God communicates to man, at least then, right? The Navi, there were methods to which God communicated through man. So this was a method. So however, there's a general issue, right? How does something beyond time, beyond space, communicate with the physical world? So I'm saying it's just as much a question the Urim V'Tumim is about Nevuah. Right? I mean, so in any case, so the Ramban, there's an Ibn Ezra, which I don't understand. It was too difficult. It was like, I don't fully understand. No, it's not here. I didn't bring the source. But the Ramban quotes this Ibn Ezra. He shortens it, what he says. The Ramban says, Sava Rabbi Avram lihis chakem b'inyan horim v'tumim. Rabbi Avram, the Ibn Ezra, thought to understand, ponder the concept of the Urim v'tumim. V'amar kihem mase uman kesev v'zav. It was some craftsmanship work, some work of craftsmanship of silver and gold. V'herich b'inyanam ki chashav shehem ala tsuros shiyasu bali ha-kochavim ladas machsheva sashoel. I think it's called, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, an astrolab. It's like a, it's an astrological instrument through which you could tell the future. Now the Ibn Ezra, living in the 12th century, believed this was a science. He believed that astrology was a science. Okay? And again, the Torah says that you ask the Urim, what should I do in the future? So he said, so this is something dealing with astrology. And he wants to say there's no name of God, but somehow it was functioning and it was shaped in such a way, this Urim V'Tumim, in a way that was used for astrological purposes. And he happens to be an astrologer. Okay, so the Rabban, he says I hear what he says. V'lo amar klum. You know what v'lo amar klum means? He's saying nothing. It's like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Aval heim k'divei Rashi. So the Ramban is following along Rashi's approach, and we're going to see why the Ramban doesn't agree with Ibn Ezra's approach. And he has some interesting approaches here. And he says, Varai, I'll prove to you that it was Shem Hashem as opposed to some, like a kli that was, the Ibn Ezra thinks there was some kind of item that was fashioned, you know, just like the menorah was fashioned, the shulchan and the aron. So he thinks that the Urim V'Tumim was somehow fashioned in as an instrument to be able to tell the future. And the Ramban says, no, it's not correct. What's my proof? Ki lo nizku Urim V'Tumim klab amasiyo umdim. When the Torah describes how Bezalel and the craftsmen, you know, put together the kelim, they never mention the Urim V'Tumim. God never says you should construct, put together the Urim V'Tumim. And it never said that they did construct the Urim V'Tumim. They put together the clothing, put together the shulchan, the menorah, the aron, but they never says that they constructed an Urim V'Tumim. Uprapi begadim v'yasas ha'efod, v'yasas ha'choshen, right? It says, and they specifically when it comes to and he made the apron and he made the choshen, the breastplate. V'lo amar, it doesn't say v'yasas ha'Urim V'Tumim. V'ilu hoya maseh charash chacham, if it was some expert way of craftsmanship, hoya marich bem yosim minako, it would go on to describe the details of how it was constructed. Okay, he didn't want to go into depth. He could have simply read, and you should make the Urim V'Tumim. It doesn't say you should make the Urim V'Tumim. It said you put the Urim V'Tumim in the Choshen. Right? You know, you should say something. And there's another proof that Rabban says why Ibn Ezra is wrong. It doesn't say ha this. Echad mikol hakelim shel nizku kvar. The Torah will say, like when the Torah says, and you should make the something, it has to, when it says the, you know what it means?
It's referencing
something that comes up before, something you know from beforehand, right? So it never says, it says vasisa this, but it says vasisa aron, vasisa shulchan, vasisa menorah. With the Mishkan, it says, make the Mishkan. Why? In Parshas Truma, it says, you should make for me a Mikdash. And you should make the Mishkan that I referenced before, the Mikdash. It says, you should make the Urim and, or you should place the Urim and the Tumim. Lotziva Sambasiyasov did command to make them. So what's the hey idea? What is the Urim V'Tumim? V'lo yizkir makatzav rak b'Moshe levado, and only mentioned with Moshe by himself. Shomar b'tzava v'nasata l'choshem mishpat uv'masa. Right, you should put it by the choshem mishpat, and then it says when he did it vayiten el choshen, he placed the choshen to the choshen the Urim and the Tumim. Ki lo hayu masa uman, it was not a craftsmanship work. The Bnei Israel did not donate materials, they didn't make it. So what's the hey ha'idia? Vahem sod masur l'moshe p'yagvura. But this is a secret that was given over to Moshe from God. Hu kasva b'kdusha. Moshe wrote it. It's like, hey, the Urim, the Turim. This is something that I'm going to, that either Moshe wrote it with Kedusha, or God wrote it, Ma'aseh Shemayim, it was written in heaven. V'lakach yaskirem stav uv'yidiyah. That's what it just says. And it was something special, something unique. And then, so the Ramban rejects the Ibn Ezra. That's why he said he doesn't think it was some kind of instrument that was created. Before we get to what the Ramban thinks it is, we got to do the Rambam, because I knew that Josh was coming. Okay, so we got to do the Rambam.
I appreciate it.
Now, the problem with the Rambam, he says he doesn't mention about the Rambam discusses like everything that was created, like everything that's in the Beis Hamikdash and everything and all the Kelim. He doesn't mention the Urim V'Tumim. He doesn't mention it at all. There's only one reference the Rambam has in the Urim V'Tumim in Hilchos Beis Hamikir Perek Dal Alach Aleph, where he says Evan Hoysa Bekodesh Kadoshim B'Maravosha Aleh Hayaron Munach. Okay, there was a stone in the Kodesh Kadoshim in the western part. That's the edge, the western part of the Kodesh Kedoshim, that where the Aaron was placed. Ulefad of Tzinsenes Hamon Umat Aaron, and before, in front of it, the stone, there was the flask of the Mon and the staff of Aaron. Uva Eisha Bara Shlomo Es Abayis V'yirash Yosof Lechara Bara Bo Makab Lignos Bo Aaron Lamata B'mat Mondios Amukos Va'al Kal Kalos. Apparently, when Shlomo Melch built the Beis Hamikdash, he knew that it was going to be destroyed. Okay, whatever that means, but he created a private, secret compartment. Okay, he created that. He created this kind of secret compartment, you know, where with the Declaration of Independence, where it was hidden. Right? He created a secret compartment, and for what? To place the Aron, and to hide the Aron in this secret place. And Yoshio, HaMelech Tziva Gadzu B'makom Shibana Shlomo. Yoshio, when things were bad, said, hide the Aron there. V'gonzo imo mate Aron, and you know what else was placed there? The staff of Aron. V'ad Tzinsenes, and the flask of, where the man came. V'shem HaMishkan, the oil to anoint the Kohen Gadol. V'chol Eil L'chol Z'b'ay Shedi. They didn't have any of this stuff in the second base of Mikdash. V'af Urim V'tumim Shayu B'ay Shedi. Ah, the Urim V'tumim were in the second base of Mikdash. Lo hayu meishim baruach hakodesh, but they didn't have any power. You couldn't get it through ruach hakodesh. V'lo hayu nishalim bahem ad amod kohen leurim v'tumim, and you couldn't ask questions, right, to them. V'lo yu osim osam elahashlim shemo begadim. Why they have the urim v'tumim? Because you needed it for the eight garments. In other words, you need it. The Rambam holds. As opposed to Rashi, who says there was no Urim V'tumim. Urim V'tumim is something extra. The Rashi holds you have the eight begadim, right, for the Kohen Gadol, and then you have the Urim V'tumim. It's not one of the begadim, so you don't have to have it in the time of the second base of Mikdash. But the Rambam says, no, you need to have the Urim V'tumim because it's part of the big day Kahuna. So the big question, what did the Rambam hold? So some like the Ketav HaKabbalah, he's a commentary in Chumash, he wants to say what the Rambam held. So he says, second line in the Ketav HaKabbalah, he says, I didn't find anything how the Rambam explains what the Urim V'Tumim is. The Perek Tes, Miklei Mikdash, because of the ninth chapter in Klei Mikdash, Mavarsham, Kol Prate Masei Choshev Eifot, because there it mentions all the details of, if you read in the laws of the Kelim of the Mikdash, the whole section in the Rambam of all the Kelim of the Mikdash. It talks about the Choshen and the Ephod. It doesn't mention all Urim V'Tumim. How is it going to? How is Ram not going to mention an explicit pasuk? L'chaynir. Therefore, it seems to me, Shiladato, according to the Ram, ain't Urim V'Tumim Shemos Kedoshim. He thinks that the Ram holds that the Urim V'Tumim are not the holy names of God. Because again, Ram's not into this stuff, right? So because that's before Rak Shneim Asar Havarim Shahoyu Ksuvim B'Shemos Shneim Asar Shivtei Yisrael. The 12 stones that you had the 12 tribes written on them, they're the Urim V'Tumim, part of the Choshen. In other words, it wasn't anything. The Urim V'Tumim was more of like a function. Urim V'Tumim was describing part of the Choshen that served as the function of the Urim V'Tumim. In other words, the part of the Choshen that lit up to inform, you know, the Kohen Gadol what to do, or the Nasi what to do, that, or the Melech what to do, that is called the Urim V'Tumim, right? Because they would light up, right? Or they would light up, and they would be fulfill their words to those who asked them. Nearly old, that besides their function, because of their function, they call it Vitumim, Kigam Alayim, for their essence they're called this name, Kiavanim Tovos Keila, Mitivam Liot Zach Bahir Meir. It wasn't only that they lit up, but they're also bright and shiny stone, gems. So they're called Urim, they're Bali Or. And they're also, they're also taken like how their natural creation. They weren't carved at all. They were like whole. They weren't, no one did any craftsmanship on them. Why are they tumim? They're perfect. In other words, it's good. The Rambam said, or at least the Ketav HaKabbalah wants to say, that these 12 stones were Urim V'Tumim. They were Urim V'Tumim in their function. They were Meir, they lit up, and they fulfilled their they were complete in their understanding, in their function. And they fulfilled whatever, you know, the person asked for them. And number two, they were bright stones, and they were whole stones. And so that's why it's called Urim V'Tumim. That's what he wants to say. So this is why the Rambam doesn't. That's why the Rambam doesn't mention something called the Urim V'Tumim, because that was the that was part of the Choshen. It was the Urim V'Tumim, and then he deals with the. There's no names of God that they're focusing on. Okay, they were still doing these miracles, but it wasn't based on focusing different names of Hashem. Okay, so then and then he, and that's what he said. And therefore the time. One second, Judah. And therefore the time of the second base of Mikdash, it was the same as it was. But you didn't have the same spiritual connection to God. Tavis Sekhem is the Mikdash, and therefore you couldn't access the Urim to ask questions. Yeah.
Is it more of a problem for the Rambam if it had Shem HaMeforosh than if they just lit up without Shem HaMeforosh?
I don't think he believes in this concept of like you concentrate on the Shem HaMeforosh, and as a result you concentrate on the Shem HaMeforosh, so then things would light up. I don't think he believes in that kind of concept.
Maybe that's just what gave it its special power.
I understand.
Also, the other thing is, also, the Ramban said, V'lo nedava klal. Didn't the Nesiim give the jewels for the Urim V'Tumim? That wasn't that there?
Yeah, if you hold like the Rambam, yes. But I see what you're saying. No, but it didn't say, so the Ramban obviously disagrees with this. Right, according, the Ramban would ask on the Rambam as well, or the way the Ramban would also ask in the way that Ketav HaKabbalah understood the Rambam. But according to the Ramban, the Urim and Tumim were names of God, and that was not donated. Oh. You're right. In other words, the Ramban would ask the same question the Rambam. You know, he's saying, it would work out well. Right. The Ramban doesn't believe they were donated. The Rambam's advantage also is that, right, you didn't have to craft the stones. Also, so that's why I said you don't make the Urim V'Tumim according to the Rambam. The Rambam is saying you're making the Choshen. The Choshen is the Urim V'Tumim. I mean,
which is what I always thought it was one.
The stones. It wasn't Shem HaMeforosh.
Right.
Okay.
No, I always thought it was one piece anyway. I didn't realize.
Right. So Rashi said you put it in the fold.
But just on the top line, it said in the Ramban, it said V'lo nedava klal.
Right, V'lo nedava klal.
But I thought the Nesiim gave those.
No, stones. But the Ramban holds. The Ramban holds like Rashi. He's going to hold that they're Shem Hashem, so they weren't donated.
They were not donated.
No, because the Shem Hashem was not donated. They're slips of parchment without the name of God written on it.
But the stones themselves.
They were donated. But that's, the Ramban holds that they were, the Ramban holds they were not stones. The Rambam holds they were stones. Rashi says they were the Shem Hashem. The Ibn Ezra holds there was some kind of astrolabe, I don't know if it's pronounced correct, some kind of astrological tool to be able to tell the future. The Rambam holds they were the 12 stones themselves of the Choshen. And the Ramban, let's see the Ramban. The Ramban says, Vayinyan hu. And the idea is the following. The idea is the following. Ki hayu shemos kedoshim. They were holy names. Mikocham ya'iwa osios mi'avne ha'choshen el enei ha'kohen. From their power, the letters would light up from the stones of the Choshen to the eyes of the Kohen. Hashol b'mishpatam, who asks in their judgment what they should do. V'amashol, what's the mashol? Ki kasher shalu miyale ladu ala kanani b'tchili lachem. When they would ask, who should go up to the Kanani first to wage war in Shoftim Aleph? They ask God. What do you mean they ask God? Who are they asking? Urim and Tumim. Haya Kohen mechavein b'shem Hashem Urim. So the Kohen would have kavana. He would concentrate on the Shem Hashem that was in the Urim, but that was in the, He would concentrate on the Shem Hashem, which were the Urim. Ve'iru le'enav osios Yehuda. So all of a sudden, the letters of Yehuda and the yud from Levi would light up, and the ayin from Shimon, and the lamed from Levi, and the hey from Avram. Avram, because I think there were rabbis who held that the avos were also. Of course, it's interesting, when he said, who should go up? Yehuda should go up. Why should have all the letters of Yehuda to light up? I don't know the answer to that. But he says the basic thing, when you concentrate it, so different letters would light up. But then, Oshira Pabacher, so they get enough hey from Yehuda, maybe hey from Yehuda. But how do you know, how do you unscramble it? Right? How do you know what the right, let's say four letters light up, but how do you know how to unscramble, or five letters light up? How do you know, what word it makes up? He says, Ki, mina osia, shir sidru, mehem, Yehuda, yala, hoyav, shalayasos, mehem, hoy, heid, aliyah. It could be a different word, hoy, heid, aliyah, or hey, al, Yehuda. Other words, v'tevos acheros rabos mod. How do you know, Yehuda Ya'aleh would light up? How do you know it would be unscrambled to that particular word? Avohayu shemos akolosh acherim nikraim tumim. There were other shemos Hashem in the folds called tumim. What was tumim? Mikocham yeh lev akoin tamim bidias inyan os yosiru la'enav. You had some shemos Kohen would concentrate on these Shemos, and they would light up the letters, and then you concentrate on other Shemos to give the Kohen the understanding to unscramble the letters. Ki kasher kiven b'shemos ha'urim ve'iru chozer miyad mecham b'shemos ha'tumim. After the Urim the letters would light up, he'd stop concentrating on the Urim names, and he would concentrate on the Tumim. Ve'odem ha'osios me'iros le'inav. Then he would say, I know, okay, da 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 da, Yehuda Yala. And this, he said, this is a little bit, this is a madriga from Ruach HaKodesh. It's less than Nevuah. Nevuah is God giving you a message directly. Ruach HaKodesh is divine wisdom, is wisdom with the help of God. And this is higher than the Baskol. So, right, because the Baskol, the Baskol was the second base mesh. This is higher than the Baskol. You got Nevuah. You got Ruach HaKodesh, and then you got the Baskel, right? Ruach HaKodesh is how, let's say, I think Shlomo Melch, he crafted some of the Sifrei, Koheles or Shir, like the when you say that some of the authors of some of the books of Tanakh, they had Ruach HaKodesh. What's interesting, it's interesting that according to the Ramban, he's building off Rashi, and he holds he had Urim letters, he had Urim name and Tumim names, okay? And apparently, so, I'm looking this up, and I see everyone's quoting the story of Eli and Chana. And what was this?
Shikora Ksera.
Right, and it's wrong. No. No, it's right, because that's what everyone quotes. Mm-hmm. And they're quoting from the Vilna Gaon. So that was the mistake of Eli. Because Eli had... I'll tell you why I think it's wrong. Eli, basically... When he saw this woman is praying, and he's like, what's going on here? So he goes to Urim V'Tumim, and he gets he has these letters, Shin Kaf Resh Hey. So he had the special, but he didn't have the wisdom of the Tumim. So that's why he read it wrong, and he read it as Shikora. Now everyone, I check it off online, everyone says it's Kshera, right? And they quote the Vilna Gaon. I tried to find where Vilna Gaon says it. So I'm just telling you, because I have it here. The Kol Eliyahu. This is the Vilna Gaon's commentary on Shmuel Aleph. And he says, Valzos Antelo, and she right, he says that he thought the letters were Shikora. V'lchen ksiv echshe Eli l'shikora. V'amar lo, he says there, Kadavar, he says, Ad masai tishtakarine, siru eshi enech me'alach. Remove the wine from you. Valzos Antelo, and this she answered him. He nay lo adun, you know my master, lo adun ata bedavar hazeh, velo ruach hakodesh. He says, you're not correct, I think. you don't have the right Ruach HaKodesh. Ika gabcha letzarif osios korosam emti. You need to scramble the letters correctly. Shetzirufam bemes hu. If you connect them in truth, it is kaf shin reish hei, or kaf, is it shin or sin? Reish hei. Kolomar she'ani kshas ruach akara, that I am a woman who is barren. Mispalelas al banim, I'm davening on my children. Ke Sarah imenu. Im kein lama dantani lakaf chava. Why are you judging me unfavorably? It's time for Osios Lamar Shorasam Shikora Voldanti Kapskusharasam who kisara shahisa akara. So I think all these that you see online when it says kishera, Kolya says kisara, that she was saying Vamidra Shosifa Yosebir Kisarivka Racha, that's Rashis, Lodi Isha Kashis Ruach Ani, it's anochi kisara. It's not kishera. But in any case, I think the message, by the way, the message sometimes could be, I saw my friend has a nice shot of this. He says that some people, or quoted someone who says that some people have like the Urim without the Tumim. They can quote all this Torah, but they don't know how to mix it up, how to apply it. You know, you have all this power to have these great Torah ideas, but how they unscramble it, they do it the wrong way. So you need to have both. You need to have both someone who knows, who's brilliant in Torah insights, but they also be a gadol knowing the right das and right, knowing how to understand it and to fit it in so it's correct and understandable. In any case, so next.